Over the years, I have noticed that people tend to be wired either as people pleasers or people that push back. Think about that. I mean, if you've had several kids, you may have noticed the tendency to be one or the other extremes. If you've had several grandchildren, you've probably seen the wiring, natural wiring, to be one or the other. If you get in a group of multiple people, in a group setting, you see people that, kind of wired differently. But the interesting thing is, whether you're wired as a people pleaser or whether you're wired as a person that pushes back, what motivates us as people is that we are self-oriented. On our own, we want to do what we'd like to do. So some of us do that by self-preservation, and we please people. Others of us do it with our focus on control, and we try to push back and get control. As far as talking about tendencies and leaning towards different extremes, as professing Christians, we often lean towards different extremes. Some of us in our walk might lean towards legalism, and some of us in our walk might lean more towards license. Legalism is those who are trying to seek God's favor in their Christian walk by rule-keeping and performance-based activities, where the person that is living with license, they have this notion that because they have God's grace as a believer, they can more or less do anything they want and still please God. Both of these approaches to Christian living are short-sighted and wrong. They both are human-oriented, determined by the person's will, and that falls short. Our approach to Christian living should be God-focused, determined by God Himself and His Word. So today we're gonna continue our study on free in Christ in the book of Galatians, and we're gonna be looking at Galatians 3, 10 through 14. But let us pray before we look at God's Word. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak through your Word. I pray that that I would not get in the way of what your Spirit wants to say through your Word. And Lord, may our minds be focused on what your Spirit is trying to speak to us through your written word. Lord, I thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. As we turn to Galatians 3, I would encourage you to look at verse 10. Verses 10 through 12 focus on the whole aspect of living by faith is not relying on the law. Let's look at verse 10 first together. "For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.'" Here we see right out of the gate that the Judaizers of Paul's day taught that the law could save them. But here in verse 10, Paul says, once again, the law cannot save. The law only condemns. It does not justify the sinner. Here in this verse, Paul is quoting Deuteronomy 27, which says, "Cursed is everyone who does not function under the law by doing them." And the law demands, interesting thing about the law is the law demands that we are obedient in all things. All things, not just some things. I think so often we think there's a cafeteria of obedience and we can pick and choose what we want to obey. But if you want to live by the law, if the law is what you're focused on, you got to perform and obey all those things. And there is only one person who has ever obeyed all things, and that is Jesus Christ. The law was given to us as a mirror to say, "Hey, your face is dirty. Hey, your hair is out of position." It's to show the condition of our hearts and that we need Christ, and He is the only one that can fix us. So only Christ could and did obey all things. Building on this, that we can't rely on the law, we go to the very first part of verse 11. In the very first part of verse 11, it says this. It says, "Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law." So once again, Paul puts it out here. The notion that a person can gain God's acceptance by human efforts is destroyed here. It can happen. And then he goes on in the latter part of verse 11, and he says this, "For the righteous shall live by faith." In other words, you can't be justified by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. You know, people often think that the people in the Old Testament were saved one way, and the people in the New Testament were saved another way. In other words, in the Old Testament, you were saved by works, and in the New Testament, you were saved by grace. But here, Paul quotes Habakkuk 2:4, which says, "The righteous shall live by faith." So this is back in the Old Testament, during the dispensation of law, during the law-giving times. And he's saying, "The righteous shall live by faith." And it's interesting, justification has always been by faith in Christ's provision for us and our sin. And in the Old Testament, they were looking forward. They were looking forward to Christ's coming. In the New Testament, we look back towards Christ's first coming, and we look forward to his coming again. And so he quotes the Old Testament so that salvation has always been by faith through Christ's provision, through God's provision, Jesus Christ. And it's interesting, the Holy Spirit felt this was so important that he led three writers to write in the New Testament this same, they quoted this same verse. In Romans 1:17, it said the same thing, "The righteous shall live by faith." And in Romans 1:17, it explains that the righteous, what the righteous are. It tells us how the sinner can be justified. It says this, "The righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. It is written, the righteous shall live by faith." And then here in Galatians 3:11, explains how the just shall live. We are supposed to, we are being saved by faith, but we're also to live by faith, not by our works, not by the power of the flesh, but by the faith that God gives us in Christ. And then in Hebrews 10:38, once again, "The righteous shall live by faith" is quoted again. And this illustrates the by faith part of the phrase. In this verse and the verses following, even into Hebrews 11, we see the life of faith illustrated throughout the Old Testament saints, where time and time again, God's people placed their faith in God's provision for them, and God provided for them when they were in very, very difficult situations, and he empowered them. He empowered them to live a life that glorified God. It reminds me of what our chief end is, what our purpose as believers are in every age. The Westminster Shorter Catechism put it this way, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, and we can only do that by faith. Our purpose is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And you know what? If you're trying to do it on your own, if you're trying to do it by works, if you're hanging on and striving with your own flesh, you're not glorifying God. What are you glorifying? Yourself and your self-effort. We need to glorify God, trust him, and enjoy him forever. The Christian walk is not to be something that is just eked out with our own strength. It is something that we recognize we can't do it on our own. And we repent of who we are, and we release our lives, we give our lives to him, and he lives his life through us. And there is joy and there is peace, even though there may be difficulty that you and I face. So that's verse 11. Let's look at verse 12. Let's look at verse 12. Paul goes on in verse 12 and he says this, but the law is not of faith, rather, but the law is not of faith, rather, the one who does them shall live by them. So here he's saying, I think what he was combating here is some people saying, well, shouldn't we kind of combine faith and law? And he says, the law is not of faith. So if you're gonna live your Christian life by the law, it's not by faith. And here he says, law and faith don't mix. Only perfectly following the law will win God's favor. And no human has ever done that. The law says this. The law says do and live. But faith says believe and live. What are you going to be trusting in? What are you trusting in? The Judaizers wanted to seduce the Galatians to believe they needed the law to keep their salvation. That's what they wanted to do. But Paul wanted them to enjoy a relationship with God based on faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross. Law and faith do not mix. The law cannot justify the sinner, Galatians 2:26. The law cannot give the gift of the Spirit, Galatians 3:2. The law cannot guarantee a spiritual inheritance. The law cannot give life. The law does not give liberty. These are all found throughout the book of Galatians. So living by faith is not relying on the law, but living by faith is relying on Christ alone. That's where our hope comes from, not in ourselves, but in God Almighty, in his provision of Jesus Christ. And then during this church age, he has given us the Holy Spirit to comfort us, guide us, empower us, equip us, and gift us to be a blessing to the world that we live in and to be able to live in such a way that we glorify God. Let's look at verse 13 and what it says here. It starts out with hope because it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Here we see there is hope for all of us who have broken the law, and we all have. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23 tells us. This hope is not in mankind and what we can do, but it is in Jesus Christ and what he has done. It says here, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us. Verse 13, the word redeemed. The word redeemed means bought out. He bought us out of slavery and set us free. The Judaizers wanted to lead these early believers into slavery to the law. They saw their freedom in Christ, and they wanted to bring them back into bondage in their Christian lives. But Paul, seeing what they were doing, preaches God's words and says, Christ redeemed you from the law. So enjoy the freedom that is ours in Christ and glorify him. Live in such a way that God is glorified. He goes on to say in verse 13 that cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That word tree is referring to the cross of Christ. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says this about the cross. It says, he, Christ himself, bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Did you notice that? That we might die to sin and live to righteousness. You know, in our Christian walk, It's a daily dying to ourselves and a daily dying to our sins as we recognize the pull of the world and the flesh and the devil. We're to die to sin and live to righteousness. So as we put off the old man, as we recognize our falling short, we turn to Christ, call out to him, and he empowers us to walk in a way that glorifies him. The curse of the law has been transferred from sinners to Christ, the sinless one. You know, if Christ had not died, that curse would be on us. But thank goodness for the tree. Thank goodness for Christ who redeemed us so that that curse is not transferred to us, but it was transferred to Christ, the sinless one, who met that need in full. And so it is done. It is finished, Jesus said when he died, just before he died on the cross. In verse 14, we see the results of Christ's redemption, what they are. Let me read what it says. The results of Christ hanging on the tree, so that Jesus Christ, the blessing of Abraham, might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Through faith. I believe there's two results that are spoken of here. First of all, the result that Gentiles would receive the blessing of Abraham. Now, I don't believe he's speaking about the personal and national promises to Israel, but what he's talking about is what is said in Habakkuk, that the just shall live by faith. It's the promised blessing of justification by faith apart from works. That is the blessing that is Gentiles, is available to Gentiles now. And that's the results of Christ, one of the results of Christ's redemption for us. And we praise the Lord. I think most of us in this room are Gentiles, and I thank the Lord that the gospel message is for us, as well as brothers and sisters in Christ that are not Gentiles. The second result is all those who believe in Christ will receive the promised Holy Spirit. You see, when we come to Christ, we not only gain salvation, but we gain the empowerment and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 14, "But at the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things." Jesus said before he left, it's good that I leave, because I will send a comforter, another comforter like myself, but that comforter will be able to be with you wherever you go. And so we have been blessed by Christ's redemption. We have justification by faith, by the Spirit's power, and we have the Holy Spirit in presence and empowering our lives if we surrender. Why did Paul have to spend so much time in Galatians to teach about justification by faith? If you look back in chapters 2 and 3, that theme keeps on reoccurring. Why is it so important that we need this teaching of justification by faith? Well, I think it's so important because we are wired. We are wired to be legalists. We're wired to rely on ourselves. You might ask it this way. Why is legalism so attractive to people? Why is legalism so attractive to Christians? I believe it is because legalism appeals to our flesh. It's natural. Our default is to try to do it on our own, and we try to be self-sufficient. So I think that's why it's so attractive, and that's why we need to push back against it. It's also attractive because the flesh likes to boast in its religious accomplishments. We tend to have to-do lists, and we kind of feel proud about when we get our to-do list done. And I think too often we bring that mentality into our spiritual lives instead of relying on Christ and what he can do in and through us. We rely on our own strength, and we set our own goals and we achieve those goals by ourselves, and then we feel good about ourselves, but it's for vain, it's for vanity. Another reason legalism is so attractive is we often measure ourselves and compare ourselves to others. You know, we battle with pride, and our minds are deceived. You know, you can always find someone that's doing things worse than you are, and you can feel good about it. The flesh is deceitful. The only person we should be measuring ourselves against is Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we will fall short, and we will humble ourselves and repent, and then we can be renewed by the Spirit on a daily basis so that we can live in fullness and live in such a way that God is glorified. Let's be on guard. Let's be on guard against legalism. And I don't think we really talked about what legalism is, but legalism is a belief system that salvation is by grace alone, but sanctification comes by our own efforts of trying to be a good Christian. Trying to be a good Christian. I think if I pushed in and we had a one-on-one conversation, if I asked you this question, what do good Christians, what does it look like to be a good Christian? I bet you we all have somewhat of a mental list, you know? And you know what? That mental list should be just kind of ripped up and torn apart. Because a Christian that's maturing is looking more and more like Christ. It's not the list that you and I come up with. I thought it was interesting what Pastor Charles Swindoll wrote about legalism. I think he's in his 80s now. He wrote this in his 70s, and he said this: the problem comes when we get into areas that are not set forth in scriptures, you know, scriptural precepts, scriptural principles, and there are many such things, and there may be such things as length of hair, tattoos, body piercings, skirts or pants for women. You can keep on coming up with the list that you might have or someone else might have. I thought it was interesting what this older man said. The problem with legalists is that not enough of people have confronted them and told them to get lost. Those are strong words, but I don't mess with legalism anymore. He said, I'm 72. What do I have to lose? I used to kowtow to legalists, but they're dangerous. They're grace killers. Legalism is grace killing. But people who disregard biblical principles are also dangerous to the church. That is to be a light in a dark world. Let's remember to fight against legalism in our hearts, that we feel we can do it on our own. And let's keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. Let's not worry about the man-made lists of what a good Christian looks like, but let's look at what Christ wants to do in our lives. And let's remember that in Christ we are saved by faith, and in Christ we can live by faith, not trusting ourselves and our own understanding, but trusting in Christ alone. And in this way, we can be blessed. It's the way of blessing rather than the way of bondage. The law will put you back in bondage, but living by faith gives you freedom, and the Lord will minister in and through your heart as we surrender to Him. Let's remember Christ. In Christ we are saved by faith. In Christ we are to live by faith, and let us not be sidetracked by that. Martin Luther, the reformer, said this: law says do this, and it is never done. Grace says believe in this, and everything has already been done. Are you doing or striving? Or are you repenting and relying? Remember, the just shall live by faith. A simple acrostic of faith says, forgetting all else, I trust Him. Who are you trusting in? Yourself Are you trusting in Christ's work and what he's done for you and what he wants to continue to do for you and in you and through you? Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for it, for our salvation. But Lord, I just pray for these believers today that we would not only be justified by faith, but that we would live by faith. Lord, help us not to rely on our own strength, rely on our own understanding, but in all our ways, lean upon you. And Lord, help us to, when we fall short, to repent and be renewed by your Spirit. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the joy and peace that comes by walking in faith. Lord, may you work in our hearts and our lives, and may we be so much more concerned about what's going on in our hearts than we are about the hearts of our brothers and sisters around us. Speak to us, convict us, renew us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.